Chapter 19. Grievous Bodily Harm. I had come face to face with a lot of potentially dangerous animals in my life. A tiger shark, a polar bear, an anaconda, a herd of Cape buffalo, and, as of that morning, a grizzly bear. Surprisingly, all of those encounters had taken place after I had moved to civilization. During the 10 years that my family had lived in a tent camp in the Congo, my life had been far safer. But even though grievous bodily harm was a domesticated animal, in a weird way, he was possibly the most dangerous creature I had ever confronted. Unlike all the wild animals, he had been bred to be dangerous. Wild animals rarely attack humans unless they feel threatened, and even then, it is usually as a last resort. Although it had been terrifying to find Sasquatch in the house, it was obvious that the grizzly hadn't been the slightest bit interested in harming any of us. But grievous bodily harm, like most rodeo bulls, had been raised to be angry. He wasn't a killer, exactly, but he was big, mean, and destructive. The moment he got loose from the chute, he was going to smash everything in his path. And unfortunately, the first thing in his path was me. Even though I only had a split second to analyze the situation, a few things were evident. The rear gate of the chute didn't appear to have been broken. It had simply swung open, as though someone had forgotten to lock it, or possibly as though someone had opened it on purpose. Grievous bodily harm wasn't barreling straight for me. Instead, he was bucking about wildly, exactly as he would have done if he'd been in the arena and a cowboy had been astride his back. But he was still coming in my direction. He was coming fast, and he was moving erratically. If he had simply charged me, I might have been able to dive to one side and let him run past. But now, I couldn't seem to get out of his way. I juked left and right, but Grievous kept changing direction as well. The massive beast continued toward me, bellowing like a train whistle. His head was lowered, so his thick, sharp horns were pointed straight ahead, ready to gore anyone or fling them aside, or both. All around me, rodeo fans and contestants were scattering like cockroaches. Even the bull riders were fleeing out of Grievous's path. Some people vaulted over the fence and dropped into the arena, while others climbed the food vending stalls. I caught a glimpse of Jasmine hoisting a young girl up to her parents atop a barbecue stand before clambering up it herself. I made a few more feints to get out of grievous bodily harm's way, but the bucking bull kept bearing down on me, so close that the ground trembled from the thud of his hooves, and I could feel the breath gusting from his nose onto my back. Someone suddenly tackled me. They broadsided me, knocking me sideways out of the path of the bull. We tumbled through the dirt as grievous bodily harm thundered past. However, the bull didn't keep on running. It swiveled in our direction, still bucking and kicking wildly. So now the danger wasn't getting gored so much as getting trampled. The man who had saved my life was instantly back on his feet. He had tackled me so fast I hadn't been able to see his face. Now all I could tell was that he was a big man, and he was a rodeo clown. He wore baggy overalls, a garishly striped shirt, and a bright green fright wig. His face was painted white, and he had a fake red nose the size of an apple. He was now distracting the bull from me, the same way he would have for a thrown rider in the rodeo ring. He waved for the bull's attention, giving me a chance to scramble for safety, then led it in the opposite direction. Grievous bodily harm bellowed and charged the clown. For a second, it looked as though the bull was going to run him through with his horns. But the clown scampered up the arena fence with surprising agility for a man so big. The bull glanced off the fence just below him and then raged onward. As the clown perched atop the fence, his fake nose fell off, allowing me to finally determine the identity of the person who had saved me. It was Jericho. Grievous bodily harm continued his rampage. By now, all of the tourists had cleared the area, and the only people around were a few other rodeo clowns and cowboys who were trying to contain the bull. Grievous veered away from them toward the porta-potties. Only 15 seconds earlier, there had been lines for all of them. But now, everyone had fled, realizing there were other things more important than going to the bathroom. Although, it was possible that some people, in their fright, had relieved themselves on the run. So the area in front of the outhouses was wide open. Morton stepped out of the stall on the end. It was evident that he'd been completely unaware of what was happening outside the porta-potty until that moment. He was simply trying to get out of the foul-smelling cubicle as quickly as possible, and made it two steps before he even noticed that there was an enormous ornery bull on the loose. Grievous bodily harm responded to the sudden movement and turned his way. Morton gaped with horror, and then moved with incredible speed for a wounded man. He flung his crutches aside and raced back into the portable outhouse. No sooner had the door slammed shut behind him than grievous bodily harm rammed into it. The bull hit the cubicle with the force of an oncoming truck. The porta-potty rocked backward and then toppled. From inside came the sound of a large amount of human waste sloshing out of the holding tank, followed by a scream of abject horror and disgust from Morton. Grievous continued onward, although he was now slowing down. Either he had worn himself out, or his foul temper was fading. He was no longer bucking as wildly. Near the porta-potties, a few dozen people had climbed atop a cotton candy and snow cone booth, which was groaning under their weight. One dim employee balled up some snow cone ice into a snowball and flung it at the bull, mistakenly thinking that would fend Grievous off. Instead, it provoked a last burst of rage from the bull, which gave the stand a cursory butt with his head. The makeshift structure, already strained by the weight of the people hanging on it, buckled and collapsed. Thankfully, no one was hurt, but the cotton candy machine was mortally wounded. The barrel that spun the sugar was violently ejected and clanged off Grievous Bodily Harm's head, leaving the bull with streams of bright pink spun sugar dangling from his horns. The cowboys and rodeo clowns had now surrounded Grievous on three sides. The bull stopped bucking, considered them, then turned and quickly trotted away in the one direction that no one was covering, the direction of the porta-potties. Morton had just managed to force the door open from the inside and was clamoring out. He was smeared from head to toe with human waste and reeked so badly that I could smell him from 30 feet away. Now, upon seeing the bull returning, he shrieked in terror, slipped, and fell right back into the muck-filled outhouse again. Grievous ran past him and into the parking area beyond. The cowboys and rodeo clowns chased after him. Jericho joined them, even though he had already put his life at risk once. He paused momentarily as he passed me to glance in my direction. "Thanks," I said. Jericho nodded, then ran on. Now that grievous bodily harm was a safe distance away, I brushed myself off and took a look around. Ike Spooner was gone. So was the man who might have been George Wiley. The two of them had run off with the rest of the crowd once Grievous had gotten loose. I was annoyed that their conversation had been interrupted and that I had missed what had sounded like a promising clue. But there was something else that concerned me even more. When Grievous bodily harm had first escaped, I had caught a glimpse of something. Someone had been behind the open gate of the bull chute, as though they had swung it open and were keeping it between themselves and Grievous as protection. Their face was hidden behind the metal slats, but I had seen their cowboy hat. It was baby blue, the exact same color as the one Taffy Spooner had been wearing earlier that day, which made me think that maybe Grievous bodily harm escaping his chute hadn't been an accident at all.